I feel particularly proud of this sermon because it's not easy to combine all of the elements that are necessary to make for a Sunday worship, but it's even more complicated when you're trying to use the scriptures and then the days of the year like Mother's Day, and you want to combine all of them, but I think I've accomplished that, so I'm rather proud of that. I hope you enjoy this. What if we really believed that there was life after life? What if we believed that through love we could accomplish everything we ever wanted to accomplish in this lifetime? What would it be like to live by faith and love and not by fear and doubt? The following is a story that was written by a woman whose name is very hard for me to pronounce, but I will try my best. Utmutato Laneki, and she wrote this story for Mother Earth News. Some of you saw it because I posted it. I saw it on Facebook this past week, and I can't think of a better way to explain what John is trying to talk about in his letter than this story. It gets at it. It flushes it out. There are two babies, and they're being carried in a mother's womb. The first twin asks the other, "Do you believe in life after delivery?" The other replied, "Why, of course. There has to be something after delivery. Maybe we are here to prepare ourselves for what will be after labor." "Nonsense," said the first. "There is no life after delivery. What kind of life would that be?" The second said, "I don't know, but there will be more light than there is here. Maybe we will walk on our legs and eat from our mouths. Maybe we will have other senses that we can't understand or access right now." And the first replied, "That's absurd. Walking is impossible, and eating with our mouths? Ridiculous. The umbilical cord supplies nutrients and everything we need, but the umbilical cord is so short. Life after delivery is to be logically excluded." And the second twin insisted, "Well, I think there is something, and maybe it's different than it is here. Maybe we won't need this physical cord anymore once we leave here." And the first replied, "That's nonsense. And moreover, if there is life, then why has no one ever come back from that place to here to tell us about it?" Delivery is the end of life. And in the after delivery, there is nothing but darkness and silence and oblivion. It takes us nowhere. "Well, I don't know," said the second twin, "but certainly we will meet Mother, and she will take care of us." And the first replied, "Mother? You actually believe in Mother? That's laughable. If Mother exists, then where is she now?" And the second said, "She is all around us. We are surrounded by her. We are of her. It is in her that we live. Without her, this world would not and could not exist." Said the first, "Well, I don't see her, so it is only logical that she does not exist." To which the second replied, Sometimes, when you're in silence and you focus and you really listen, you can sort of perceive and hear her presence, and you can hear her loving voice calling down from above." That's a brilliant story. And it's got great insight into what John is trying to get us to realize. Jesus said, "You can perceive God's presence when you love another person, when you love another human being. In that very act of loving another person, you can experience heaven on earth. You can experience eternity right here, right now, and get a glimpse of what lays in store for you for all time, not just some of the time. Imagine what you could accomplish if you believed with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind in the power and the reality of the resurrection. What would change if you believed with everything you had? What could you accomplish? What could you do? You would be absolutely free from fear. That's the first thing. You would not be afraid of anything. Nothing, therefore, could own you. You could be completely and truly free, free to pursue your dreams, free to try, free to fail, free to succeed, because in all of it, you would know that God has given you the power and the permission to explore the limits of life here on earth, knowing that there is far more to this than we see right now, that there is life after life. Such was the case with a woman by the name of Diane Nyad, who in 2013 became the first woman, first person for that matter, to swim from Havana, Cuba to Key West, a swim of 110 miles without a shark cage. Two other people have done it, but they did it with shark cages. Maybe you've heard the story of Diane. She was 64 years of age when she accomplished this world record. 64. In fact, she had tried 5 times before succeeding in this quest. She had used up most of her life savings in pursuit of this quest. She had given her life to something that seemed to be impossible for her to get to, especially after the first 4 failures. When all of her friends, when her coaches and her family, her most significant people in her life were encouraging her, please just stop. It's enough. It's enough. She continued. Then on the morning of August 31st, with all of those same friends supporting her, they never left her, in 2013, with her face completely sunburned and swollen, lips puffed out like they had been implanted with way too much collagen, with barely enough energy to speak, she waded ashore at Key West after a 53-hour swim. 53 hours. And delivered a very simple message to the onlookers. We should never, ever give up. You are never too old, never too old to chase your dreams. The iron-willed Nyad had been trying to achieve the crossing for 35 years. 35 years. Describing it on her website as the extreme dream. And seemed determined to prove the Beatles were right, that there is plenty to live for when you are 64. Diane shows that at any age you can do whatever you want, said Nancy Jordan, 57, a volunteer pilot on one of Nyad's support vessels. That's what she set out to show us. Don't ever give up on your dreams. Dave McGon, whose boat was used to prepare Diane Nyad's meals as she crossed this huge expanse of water, said she has a mental and physical strength like no one I have ever known. She is an example for all people, regardless of their age. Women and men of a certain age have been inspired in recent years because of a wave of older athletes who are now breaking records and snagging headlines of their own. It's not just for the young anymore. Last year, Colorado Rockies player Jamie Moyer, 50 years of age, became the oldest pitcher in Major League Baseball history to win a game. Canadian Ed Whitlock, now 82, shattered records when he ran the 2012 Toronto Marathon in 3 hours and 30 minutes. Now, to put that in perspective, the world record held by guys in their 20s and 30s is 2 hours and roughly that change time. That's 1 hour. He's 82. And Dana Torres, in 2008, I remember watching this, at age 41, became the oldest ever American female swimmer to win an Olympic bronze medal. People half her age who hadn't been born, she was beating when she did that. Nyad's team said in her 5th attempt at the Florida crossing that she benefited from several key factors, including calm seas, a surprising lack of jellyfish, which had infiltrated her and stung her on many other occasions, and favorable currents that helped along too, that powerful Gulf Stream that can blow out and flows eastward towards the Florida Straits. You can't do the swim unless you have 3 things, she said. The belief is the first thing. You must believe you can do it. The weather is the second thing that you need. And the third is the cooperation of a lot of people. The belief, Ron Bartlett said, you have to have the belief to do this kind of thing. that you can do something this audacious, this crazy. You have to believe that it's okay to come out of the womb and into a bigger world than you are currently living in. It is scary to do this, absolutely. But it's also the most freeing thing that you'll ever do in your life, to push beyond your fears, to look at your limits and say, they shall not define me anymore. To believe as Jesus believed, and as he told us, the things that I do, you will do greater things than these, folks, if you but believe. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, not a lot, just a little. Just as walking on the water, however, was not the point of the miracle for Jesus, neither was swimming the length of the Florida Straits the ultimate goal for any of us. The issue is believing. The issue is surrendering your life into a belief that will shape you in a way beyond your wildest imagining. The issue isn't about setting world records. If you happen to do that, that's great. But that's not what it's about. It's about setting this world on fire with love, about the power of love to transform this world. What could you accomplish in your life if you believed and loved as Jesus did? What could you accomplish? What could your church accomplish if we believed with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, that there was a power greater than ourselves guiding us and sustaining us that we could put our trust in, that could lead us to do greater things than we have done yet in this place and time? What if? So as we move forward from this day forth into the future, there will be a tendency for us at times to want to quit, to say it's just too hard, I'm just too old, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money. Or we can say, what the heck, let's do it. But I'm here to say to you, as my grandfather said over and over to me as a kid, he said, Stephen, can't never did anything. Amen. Thank you.